Hello, everybody. It's lovely to be with you again. So here we are with the Divine Doctor. And the passage that we've just heard there, Jesus is calling Matthew. It's interesting, isn't it, to choose that one? I didn't choose it. I don't know who did. But it's interesting to choose that one when we're talking about the Divine Doctor, because that's not one of the actual healing stories. But Jesus is answering his critics, his Pharisees, when they get really cross when he is spending time with a tax collector. Now, anybody work for HMRC? We love you, really. Come on, own up. But of course, tax collectors in Jesus' time weren't the kind of professionals that we know now. They were tax farmers. They would be people from the country themselves, but they would be collecting taxes on behalf of the pesky Romans. You can say boo whenever we mention Romans. And so they were like traitors, because what they were doing, they were taking money from their own country people. They were giving the Romans what they wanted, but they were keeping a fair amount back for themselves. Boo. So that's why so many people hated them. And it's why the Pharisees thought that Jesus should steer clear. Now, the Pharisees. Let's not say boo about the Pharisees, because the Pharisees were people who thought they were doing the right thing. They thought that by keeping themselves pure and by being very, very careful, scrupulous about what they did, that would get them closer to God. But Jesus comes, and Jesus is, if you like, the person of Jesus is like God with dirty hands. Because Jesus does not keep himself separate. Jesus gets stuck in. And Jesus turns around the life of Matthew. In the other Gospels, he's called Levi, same person. He's got two names, that's all right. And he says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. He sees that in Matthew there is a sickness of the soul, something that needs healing. And then Jesus turns the words back. Just go back a slide, if you would, please. Hello? If we can just have the end of the reading on the slide. That's it. That's the one. Jesus, as it were, puts the Pharisees on the back foot, because what he does is he quotes back to them the words of a prophet, the words of the prophet Hosea. When the nation was really getting things wrong, and what they needed was to refresh their idea of God and to have the real truth about what God was like. And that little quote there, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. It comes from a prophet, Hosea. And it's saying, instead of just doing religious things for the sake of doing them, look at what God is really like. And God has got the character of mercy and compassion. And there's a word for it which covers mercy, compassion, forgiveness, that readiness to love, that determination to be so loving towards people who are imperfect. Now, you know some Hebrew words, don't you? You know shalom and you know amen. So here's another one. It's chesed. Okay? Chesed is this thing that Hosea says God really wants. And Jesus says, he'd be speaking in his own Aramaic to these people, to say, learn what this means. God wants chesed, because just as God is full of compassion and love and mercy and the readiness to forgive, that's what everybody else needs to do if you're going to have anything of the character of God. It's no good saying that you are being godly if you yourself are actually not like God. Okay? But let's have a look at a couple of other stories where Jesus does actually heal people. So if we just go forward a bit. And another slide. Here we are. Here's another story. I'll get out of your way, Evie, so I'm not blocking you. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." He actually says, "You are already set, you have been set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." So instead of arguing with Jesus, he's going arguing with the public. "Don't come and be healed now, come another time. Because we shouldn't be doing work on this day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, you play actors, you people who are just pretending. Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" You know, I sometimes wonder whether Jesus concentrated on healing on the Sabbath just to wind these people up. But the whole point is that for observant Jews, and it's still the case, the Sabbath is a day of rest. It's a day when you don't work. It's a God-given gift so that you can have that recreation, that recreation. But these people had taken it too far, and they saw that healing, instead of being something good that's changed a person's life, 18 years this woman has been, as it says, bound by Satan. Satan, in some stories, is like the tester, the one who makes it difficult for people, tries them out. She's been under this for 18 years. She's being liberated. Remember on the first slide it says, Jesus said, "You've been set free from your ailment." Freedom, liberation, is one of the themes that is so strong in the Bible, which I have to say, 21st century British people don't always notice, because we are not a nation that has ever really needed that kind of liberation. For people from other cultures, the message of freedom and liberation in the Bible sings out so much powerfully. So, when he had said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. They got it right. They didn't see this as work, something that ought to be banned, controlled. They saw it as God breaking into the situation, making somebody's life just new. Just new. Here's another one. Jesus entered the synagogue and a man was there who had a withered hand. They, I think it's the Pharisees, because it's a long time since Mark has said who they are, but the last people were the Pharisees, watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. I wanted to put this story in because it's one of those few places where we really see Jesus angry. And it's a part of the story that we can't just dismiss. Jesus isn't fluffy. There's a strength about Jesus. And when Jesus sees not only somebody's condition that he can restore, he can heal, not only does he see that, but he also sees the people who actually want to stop him. And so he's grieved at their hardness of heart. The word there is the one that, it's the same word that when something's got calluses on it, their heart was all knobbly and hard and unshifting. And Jesus' reaction is one that's very strong. So in all of this, the divine doctor, Jesus the healer, not just the healer of body and mind, you know those stories are there in the Gospels, but also Jesus who really does address what is our deep down sickness, what is it that is wrong with us. So let's just move on. Another slide, please. Why were the Pharisees wrong? The Pharisees weren't wrong because they hated God. The Pharisees didn't want to stop good things happening. But something had happened to them and in them that had that effect of getting in the way. Because they were seeing rules as a way to God, a way to holiness. Now, please don't imagine what I'm saying is, oh, it's great, you can just go and do what you want. Because if part of this healing that Jesus gives to draw us nearer to him is something that really does bear the name of holiness, holy doesn't mean that you've got a face like a lemon and that you think you've got everything sorted out. Holiness means you know your need of God and you know it's to God you really belong. That's what it really, really means. And for the Pharisees, they had lost sight of that. And instead of what we might call a disciplined life that's loving towards God and God's people, they'd substituted rules, which is something very different. Okay? Next thing. They were loading other people with their issues. I want to keep myself pure, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop you getting better. Because that gives me confidence that I'm right. Oh, we do this all the time. How many times have we dumped our issues on somebody else and imagine that the only way to God is the way that we think is right? It ain't necessarily so. It actually isn't so. And one of the things that, if we really do want to lead a life that is shot through with the love of God and the insights that we get from Jesus, you might say, well, you know, lots of people live sort of good and nice, polite, lawful lives. Yeah, but to be a Christian means that you have seen something in Jesus that turns your life the right way up. And part of that is not dumping your stuff on others and being self-aware enough by God's grace that you see that one coming and give it a slap. Next one. God says, I desire chesed. I desire that mercy, that forgiveness, that willingness to forgive, to give people a new start. Is that something that really lives in our heart? Or do we need the healing of God so that we have a life that is a life of God-like compassion? Do we let our Jesus be angry? Or have we caged Jesus up? Have we got a meek and mild Jesus that's so fluffy is not worth believing in? Do we have a passionate Jesus? And do we have a Christ-like passion when we see the things that are wrong? When people are used? When people are maltreated? When there's abuse? When things are hidden? When there's a kind of institutional conspiracy? Or a way in which people will talk as if people from nations that are outside our own are somehow less important than people who belong from birth within this country. You see it happening. I know it's very easy to knock Donald Trump, but really, from the stuff that was reported this morning, can barbed wire ever be beautiful? Not to Christians, it can't. What's our dis-ease? Thank you, Miriam, for the slide you put up before the reading. What is it in us that needs that healing of God? There'll be something. And finally, I wasn't sure whether to put this one up. I thought we might be going off at a bit of a tangent until I saw that you put something a bit the same on the earlier slide. There's something about society and the way the world is where we really can bring something of good. Here we are stepping into a different place from those first Christians. They did not have a hand on the levers of power. There were no Christian politicians in the first century. It's different now. We have a society that, despite what people may say, is so much influenced and marked for good by the Christian story, having been here for centuries. And so, if it is possible that in God's name there can be healing in society, healing of the nations, what are we doing about it? Where we are, in our own situation. Because it's no use saying we want our common life to be influenced by the gospel if we think, oh, that's fine because somebody else will do it. Because that's just passing the buck. And it's losing the opportunities that God gives each of us, wherever we are and whoever we are, day by day. So, the divine doctor, not only healing of body and mind, yes, how wonderful that is, but also the healer of the spirit, and the one to whom alone we can come, and the one on whom we must model our way of seeing the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you have shown us in Jesus, the one who comes to heal. We think of ourselves in the position of those people that he met, people who were given the healing that they needed, the people who were challenged, the people who responded, the people who, through Jesus, had a new realization, our Father, of your real nature. So we pray that we may be open to the healing that Christ gives, and that the fruit of that healing may be seen in the way we are with the people around us and in your world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.